you're with us for the morning show as we talk about free and charitable clinics. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. These clinics are facing a new demand on their services as millions of Americans lose jobs and health insurance in the pandemic. According to Families USA, the number of adults without health insurance rose by 5.4 million in 3 months ending in May. It's the largest coverage loss in American history. Have you sought treatment at a free clinic? How have the services help you manage your healthcare needs in these difficult times? Do you volunteer at a free clinic? What changes have you noticed in recent months? We're at 800-642-1234. Dennis Skrieski is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. Founded in 2014, its mission is to support and advocate for these clinics, their patients, and the communities they serve. Dennis, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you, Kate.
Well, what is the situation that you're seeing for free clinics right now amid the pandemic? Can you lay it out for us?
Yeah, I would say the clinics are challenged, significantly challenged. Initially, just like all the healthcare providers, the first round of the pandemic was finding out information, trying to figure out how to adjust, how do you treat patients safely in this new environment, and then how do you also acquire supplies? PPD and appropriate resources to be able to care for the patients was really a big push up front. I would say now, though, many of the clinics are adjusting, but there's really a new operating model. There's a different way you have to care for patients to be safe, to provide high-quality care. And we're challenged, frankly, by volunteers and by staff. Many of our volunteers are older individuals. They are at a higher risk for the pandemic and for COVID-19. And we've seen a drop-off in the number of volunteers that can come to the clinic or should come to the clinic, just given the potential risks for that. So we are seeing, some significant staffing challenges as volumes of patients increase.
Before we talk about staffing challenges, do you have a shortage of personal protective equipment, a shortage of masks or shields, gowns?
I would say in the early parts of the pandemic, absolutely. I'm hearing much less about it at this point in time. And our state association, we have a call every Friday, and we invite the clinics on, the executive directors, and we talk about the issues that we're dealing with and how we're adapting. And I haven't heard PPD and a shortage come up as a topic for about the last month and a half.
What is the situation like for clinics that are in rural areas? What are the challenges there?
Rural clinics generally have even more significant challenges. It's tougher to get volunteers, tougher to operate. They tend to have a lower number of patients that are demanding services necessarily, and they tend to operate less frequently just because of that demand. But they really have some of the same challenges that even a metropolitan clinic has. It's not that much different that we're seeing clinically, at least.
So for these clinics that may not be fully operational at this time or offering only partial services, what services are being offered most abundantly at these clinics?
Most of the clinics across the state, and there's approximately 90 free and charitable clinics out there in Wisconsin, I would say the majority of them are providing medical services. Behavioral health services is provided in many of them, though not all. And dental services is provided in about 25% of them. And I would say the ones that have those services that they offer as part of their clinic are pretty much back up and running. It's just they have a challenge right now because they can't see as many patients. They have a lot of different precautions. You don't want as many people in your waiting rooms from that standpoint. Many of the clinics are moving to a schedule-only appointment model as opposed to just a drop-in model. And, they're having to adjust to all those operating challenges associated with that.
We're talking with Dennis Skrieski, who is our guide. He works with the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics as its executive director. You can join in. Do you volunteer at a free clinic? What changes have been made at your clinic? How have you been doing during this pandemic? Do you feel safe working? Is your clinic having a shortage in volunteers? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dennis, what is the staffing levels like at these clinics? Are they finding enough medical professionals?
Some are significantly challenged. So I am hearing more and more that, and just to give you a picture, most of these clinics are volunteer organizations. You may have one or two paid staff or paid providers, but the majority of these clinics are really wonderfully good-hearted souls that are coming forward to provide care and support. You could have up to 100 volunteers or more at many of the free and charitable clinics. What I'm hearing is that as the volunteer resources are less, many of the clinics are having to increase their paid staff to be able to keep up with the demand associated with the services and all. Others are moving to, I would say, telehealth. That has become a fairly a newer modality that they're adapting. And we were actually able to get a large grant from the Advancing a Healthy Wisconsin Foundation to help roll out telehealth services to many of the clinics over the last 3 months.
Has telehealth taken hold? Is it able to fill the gap in care that you're seeing? I mean, when you diminish walk-in services and people have to schedule everything online, are you feeling like patients may be falling through the cracks?
Telehealth never will meet the whole need. I mean, I've heard estimates of, you know, in a regular practice, telehealth might be able to handle 25 to 35% of a typical visit. You really don't need to lay hands on patients. You need to see patients. You need to be able to care for them face-to-face in many situations. But many of the follow-up appointments, medication checks, other issues or call-ins and things you could handle through telehealth services. And what we did is we obtained this grant, the Wisconsin Association from Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin, and we rolled out telehealth. And we're up to about 40 clinics right now that have been trained and are using telehealth. And I would say we're approaching about 2,000 telehealth visits amongst these clinics over the last 3 months. So it's helping. It's helping significantly, though it can't be the entire solution, obviously.
What was telehealth prior to COVID as a comparison?
Very, very small. I do not recall telehealth being used in any of the clinics in Wisconsin. I potentially am missing one or two, but did not see it much at all. And the interesting part that I find is it's not just for the medical visits. We do have a lot of clinics that have behavioral health counselors. They do very, very well over telehealth and speaking with their patients in a counseling format very effectively. And we actually have several dental clinics that are using telehealth to be able to screen patients, to be able to do triaging, and be able to at least understand if there's a crisis where they need to bring patients in. Obviously, they can't lay hands on teeth and all that from that standpoint, but it does help them to be able to understand and prescribe medications before a dentist, before a patient comes in.
I'm wondering, can you ask enough through telehealth in a situation like that, or can they actually open their mouth as they look into the camera and say, here, look, I'm just curious.
It is a unique situation that I understand that many can, and a lot of the diagnosis and a lot of discussion that dentists have with them is verbal, but there are oral cameras. The patients typically don't have them from that standpoint, but we're seeing some impact. As I said, it's not maximally effective, but it does help them to triage.
Talking about how free clinics across the state are operating during the pandemic, we have Dennis Skureski, who heads up the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. It's a nonprofit based in Pewaukee. Have you sought treatment services at a free clinic before? What was the experience like? What brought you to the clinic? Have you visited a free clinic since the pandemic started? Could you get access to the care you needed? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Dennis Skureski here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing free and charitable clinics here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The financial fallout of the COVID-19 pandemic has made managing chronic disease more difficult. According to Families USA, there is added risk now that people with COVID symptoms will postpone or avoid seeking care, increasing the risk to themselves, increasing risk to people around them. Have you been laid off or furloughed? What's the status of your health insurance? How you've been coping? Are you able to cover the cost of your insulin or hypertension meds? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Dennis Skryeski, who leads the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics, which includes about 90 statewide, and he stays with us. Dennis, let's talk meds for a moment. How do you see free clinics working to manage diabetes, manage hypertension, other chronic diseases? What is the role of free clinics?
In many situations, these patients really don't have access to other health care. I mean, they could go to the emergency room, but they really don't have insurance, or they have high deductible plans that they really can't afford the copays and deductibles. So many of the free and charitable clinics are really medical homes. They're clinics that provide services to patients on a continuing basis, for their overall health care needs from that standpoint. In those situations, we do see a heavy load of diabetic patients, do see a heavy load of hypertensive patients and cardiac patients. And what the clinics do is it's amazing how resourceful they are. They are networking all over the place. They have generally some very generous local pharmacies that they work with. Some of them are authorized to collect medications where they can store them in the dispensary in the clinic and give those to the patients from that standpoint. And there are many charitable pharmacies out there on a national basis, or the actual pharmaceutical companies have free medication programs. And some of our clinics have two or three volunteers or staff members that are dedicated exclusively to getting and procuring medications for their patients. So they are very resourceful. It is one of the biggest expenses associated with the clinic from that standpoint. And I would say insulins tend to be the heavy hitters. They're the most expensive. They're the ones that are the biggest challenge as far as, keeping patients stabilized and affording the heavy dose and the heavy medication costs.
What about the paperwork? Is that intensive to work with pharmaceuticals to get patients free meds?
Yes, there are several different forms. Each company has their own forms. That's why some of the clinics dedicate and devote, specific individuals that are familiar with the forms, the applications for each of the patients, because it's not like you can request one application for multiple patients. It's individual when you're going back to the pharmaceuticals. So there is a heavy demand on paperwork.
Help us understand sliding fee scale clinics. Are those operating within the free clinic model?
Yes. I would say in Wisconsin, most of the clinics tend to be purely free care, but there are hybrid clinics or clinics that charge free sliding scales or that make a suggested donation. You don't have to. They wouldn't turn anyone away, but there's a suggested donation from that standpoint on that end. That said, dental services are generally what I see as the only one that tends to accept insurances. I would say I don't see the commercial insurances, Medicare, Medicaid. Most of those patients are being seen by the FQHCs and the health systems. The people that don't have insurance come to us. The exception to that, as I said, is the dental services. They're very expensive with all the disposable supplies and materials. Almost all the dental programs in the free and charitable space do bill BadgerCare, Medicare, for at least some reimbursement for the services provided. It offsets the loss a little bit.
We're talking with Dennis Skryeski. He leads an association that represents free clinics statewide. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Jason now in Muskego. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm a dental provider who has also volunteered in clinics before. Bringing up the FQHC and the all of the things that go with funding. One of the things that's interesting is we give our best discounts to people who have insurance, and often dentists are forced then to carry those costs over the non-insurance people. I'm curious about, to our speaker, where is this sustainable? Where do we get the funding for all of this? It'd be nice to see if we had some sustainability.
Jason, thank you. Dennis?
sustainability is, from a free and charitable clinic standpoint, one of the biggest challenges they all have is resources. You know, they've generally got some good volunteer services, but these clinics are consistently and constantly raising funds, whether it's from their local foundations, whether it's from the generous community support, galas, different events that they have from an overall standpoint, web resource raising. We've actually, as a state association, even taken that on over the last year or so, and we'll be doing more of that. An example of that is we were able to get a $500,000 grant in the Wisconsin budget so that there's a pilot, a grant program for the Department of Health that awards free and charitable clinics monies for sustainability to keep them going. And then over the last year, 11 clinics received anywhere from $25,000 to $50,000 for their services and all. Another example of that is the telehealth grant we were able to get to roll out telehealth services. And we're going to be doing more of that. But the model at this point in time is really very much of a not-for-profit scenario where we're depending on volunteers and foundations and raised monies.
Do you find that free clinics are outfit here in Wisconsin with providing dental services?
They about 25% of the clinics provide dental services. So not all of them do. And usually these tend to be the more established clinics that are a little bit larger, that have a little bit more stability and ongoing funding from that standpoint. Because, you know, to run a dental chair could cost around $20,000 to $25,000 a year. And that's a lot of funds to raise, you know, to provide that essential service. But it is expensive. So you'll see the larger clinics tend to go that direction.
Let's bring in James now, joining us from the Fox Cities. James, hi.
Hi, you've answered some of my questions already. I'm a musician who played for a homeless worship service that was supported by a large number of churches. Then some doctors decided that they should offer free clinic treatment in addition to the healing prayers, and they set that up. I was wondering, how do I find out whether or not a clinic exists here in the Fox Cities from Oshkosh to Green Bay? And what would be a business plan to get this started? Is there a website for your association that offers startup information for a free clinic?
Yes. So our website is www.wafcclinics. So it's wafcclinics.org. On that website, there is a list of all of a map of where all the free and charitable clinics are across the state. And we do provide consulting services as a state association. I'm a 35-year healthcare executive myself, as some of my staff are. And we do startup consulting and support. So I'll use a couple of examples. Last year, the First Presbyterian Church up in Wausau sponsored a brand new clinic, saw the need in the community, reached out. They're right now knee deep in renovating their basement level, and they've got some really good volunteer physician, medical director, and administrator. They'll be up and running over the next several months. There's another clinic up in Shawano that some physicians came together and said there's really a need here, and they're working with SAM 25, a homeless shelter, to put up a free and charitable clinic as well. So this is the way we usually see them forming. There is information on our website, and we'd be more than willing to help out. We do this all the time, and that's part of our mission.
James, thanks. Let's bring in Mary Kay in Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Hi. I'd like to talk about the working poor, and they have insurance, but the deductible is too high, so they're not going to come into your clinic. So you need to advertise that they can come into the clinic at any time. Also, you need to open up a weight loss clinic because too many people are coming down with diabetes, okay, and you could stop that if you had a weight loss clinic.
Mary Kay,
okay.
Yeah,
thanks,
Mary Kay. Dennis, if you can respond to those.
Yeah, I can. Each of the clinics has their own eligibility criteria. Most of them that I'm aware of, clearly, if you're not insured, you're eligible, you can come in. But many of them do accept, if you want to call it the underinsured, because there's full recognition that with a high deductible plan, if you're making $20 an hour or so, it's very difficult to seek care. So those patients are, you know, accepted into many of the clinics, and I'll bring it back to the as many clinics I can find to encourage them to market their services more aggressively.
Well, Dennis, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Dennis Skryeski is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. We have a link to the association, which has COVID resources and that tool to find the nearest free clinic in Wisconsin. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Coming up, we meet the volunteer medical director for Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Are you using the services of a free clinic in your community? Have you been a patient over the years, or did you just seek out help in the pandemic? What could the clinic provide for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this discussion up after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a note on our programming plans. Join us tonight at 8 for live NPR coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Milwaukee. A mix of live and virtual events is planned as delegates contend with the pandemic and work to nominate their party's candidates for president and vice president. That's tonight through Thursday night, starting at 8 here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're talking about free and charitable clinics in Wisconsin. There are nearly 100 of these clinics in our state. They're preparing to see a wave of new patients as people suddenly lose jobs and healthcare coverage during the pandemic. But finding enough volunteer medical professionals is a challenge, as we've been hearing. Have you volunteered at a free clinic in the past? What were you able to provide? And can you tell us your story? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Lori Whitus is a family medicine physician. She's volunteer medical director at Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Dr. Whitus, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, take us to your clinic in the pandemic. How is it doing? What are you able to offer?
Well, I think one thing that we know about COVID is that it actually does discriminate against people with diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, and low-income people. And so that's sort of a combination of basically what we see at our clinic. We tend to see 60 to 65% of our patients are the working poor. So they are, many of them have more than one job, but they're doing things like fast food or working in as a delivery person or someone where they might have access to a healthcare plan at work, but again, as mentioned earlier, might have a high deductible plan. So if you make $14,000 a year and your deductible is $6,000, that's really not
feasible.
Reasonable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those diseases like diabetes, they're just relentless and they don't take time off because there happens to be a pandemic. And if anything, this is a more important time to try to keep those blood sugars under control, that blood pressure under control. So free clinics can kind of step in and help be a bridge for people who have lost their insurance. In addition, of course, we had already a pretty full patient panel that we were taking care of prior to COVID.
Are you finding that patients have difficulty affording their insulin, affording hypertension medication?
It's very common for us to have someone come in having tried to eke out their medications so that if they're on insulin, for instance, which has been mentioned, is very expensive, they're taking maybe half as much as been prescribed so that it lasts twice as long. This does not work. So, but you understand that they had to choose between that or, you know, buying food or perhaps, you know, shoes for their job or something like that. So one of the most important things that we can do is provide not just the insulin, but we also provide the glucose meter and the test strip so that they can monitor their blood sugar at home and really take full care of their diabetes.
What is volunteerism like at your clinic right now? Do you have enough medical staff to meet the need?
We are struggling. As was mentioned earlier, many of our providers, all of our doctors are volunteers. Almost all of our nurses are volunteers. And many of them are close to retirement age or a little beyond that, and so are in a high-risk group for the coronavirus, and either it's just not really that appropriate for them to be coming in and exposing themselves to that higher risk. So we normally have about four doctors at each clinic during clinic time. Right now we're trying to function with two. We're pretty short on nurses. We do have a couple of family medicine training programs in town, and we've tried to tap into those young, fresh, healthy doctors to see if we can get them to come in and pick up some extra shifts, which they've been very good about doing.
Has that happened yet? Have you been able to make that connection?
Yes, we have. Yep. We have Prevea and Mayo both have family medicine residencies here in town, and their senior residents have come in and picked up some shifts.
Do you see that relationship continuing after the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a relationship with them already in the sense that they come through in their earlier years of training to experience the clinic and to learn about that population and the challenges that there are in working with that population, and particularly the creativity that you have to have if you have a patient living in a motel room and you have to figure out how they're going to refrigerate their insulin, for instance, or, there's a lot. It's kind of fun, actually, to have to work with the patient and just in their own circumstance and figure out what is going to work for them.
Dr. Wettis, we've seen a wave of people who are newly unemployed, newly uninsured, seeking health care, more than 5.4 million Americans. Have you seen the influx? Has it started to infiltrate your free clinic?
It is starting to. Now, there is a bit of a delay with that kind of thing because many people had perhaps a month or 2 months worth of medication at home before COVID struck. They were okay for a little while, but now we're seeing people coming in. Unfortunately, oftentimes they ran out of their medications 3 or 4 weeks ago, so their blood pressure is very high or their blood sugars are very high. We also have a bit of a backlog of our own patients because we had cut back on numbers during the shelter-at-home time. So, you know, we're pretty busy. We're seeing a number of new patients.
Do they get COVID testing when they come in?
We do not provide COVID testing at our clinic. We really don't have the PPE to protect our staff, our volunteers. So we screen people at the door. If they have symptoms that are suggestive of COVID, we try to find somewhere else for them to be seen. We will try to help them arrange for COVID testing, but we at our clinic do not offer that. We are partnering with the health department who will be using our clinic site to do some free COVID testing, but our clinic itself does not offer that.
We're talking with Dr. Lori Wettis, volunteers with the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. She's a family medicine doctor, been in practice for more than 20 years. Taking your calls about free clinics and what they do in your community and what questions do you have about services. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Wettis, what are the demands on your job as the volunteer medical director? Walk us through what you're grappling with.
Well, we, like many practices, whether free clinic or not, almost overnight did have to switch to doing a fair percentage of our work over the telephone or with telehealth. We provide medications for our patients, and that was very critical that supply was able to reach the patient during the shelter-in-place time. So we had to switch to doing some mailing of prescriptions and things that we've never really had to do before. There's been a lot of creative problem-solving, and now we're starting to figure out how to work with the numbers of patients that we're seeing with the reduced volunteer staff that we have.
Looking at telehealth, was your clinic equipped for telehealth visits before this crisis?
No, I mean, of course, we had telephones, but and actually, a large number of our patients have access to a cell phone or some type of device. But there were a number of grants, emergency grants, that we were able to tap into and were able to set up for some video telehealth. But a lot is being done over the phone as well. Another grant that we used, we bought home monitoring blood pressure cuffs, so that because that's one of the things that you really just can't do over the telephone, so that our patients can call in and we can talk about their blood pressure. They can check it themselves at home.
How has that been going, being able to send those home?
Well, it's great for us because oftentimes with the blood pressure, you know, you just you need to see them back every week or every 2 weeks until things are stabilized. And this allows us to do much of that over the phone. Same with the blood glucose monitors, which we've always provided for the patients. A lot of that can be done over the phone or video.
With telehealth, are you using those services more in terms of triage, follow-up, behavioral health? How are you delivering telehealth?
Well, yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
We do some triage, and you mentioned earlier about dental, and actually dental is one of the things that does really lend itself to triage with video, because a person, as I said, many of our patients do have access to some type of camera where they can send a picture of what's going on. We do offer mental health services, and that does lend itself to telemedicine fairly well. Not quite as good as in person. There's just nothing quite like being in the same room as the patient, but it does lend itself to that.
What about PPE, the personal protective equipment? Do you have enough masks and shields and gowns?
We are in pretty good shape right now. There were a number of programs early on where we were able to order some. You know, whether we could withstand if there was a huge surge, I don't know, you know, but for the way that the COVID levels are right now in our community, we're in pretty good shape with that.
We're talking with primary care physician Lori Whitus. She is volunteer medical director at Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Are you able to manage your chronic disease in the pandemic, like diabetes or high blood pressure? Are you getting your meds through a charitable clinic or a charitable pharmacy? What's your experience been like to access medical services and prescriptions through free clinics? Still time to talk with your questions and your experiences. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Dr. Whitus right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation about free and charitable clinics. Dr. Lori Whitus is volunteer medical director at the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire, and we're discussing the influx of newly unemployed and uninsured Wisconsinites who are seeking out free clinics in the state, how these clinics are responding to the demand for services. Dr. Whitus, let's go back to dental for a moment. Your clinic, Chippewa Valley Free Clinic, offers dental services. You have a volunteer dental director. Can you meet the demand?
Well, no. We actually had trouble meeting the demand before COVID, and then, of course, it was shut down for over a month, but we didn't do any dental services. So we have a backlog. Primarily, a lot of what we're doing right now, just as we are actually in our medical clinics, is it's not just chronic disease management, but it's urgent care, you know, and so the dental clinic is seeing people who have abscesses and acute pain and may need an extraction or something like that, not so much of the preventive dental care right now. Our medical clinics are also doing quite a bit of that. If we can keep somebody out of the emergency room or treat their infection early on so that it doesn't get so bad, you know, that benefits all of us.
Let's look at communication with patients. You're seeing the need for more Spanish-speaking medical professionals. What are the needs there?
We, between 20 and 25% of our patients are monolingual Spanish, so we have two interpreters at every clinic that are scheduled to be there. We have just a handful, maybe two medical providers that are fluent enough to not benefit from using an interpreter. It's a real challenge. It's a challenging population to communicate with. At times, it took us a while to convince some of the that population that we are a safe place for them to come. They're not always as up to date on the current events as far as the shelter at home, for instance, and having to explain some of that. In our communities, there's just a lot of gap with the language barrier.
How do people learn about the Chippewa Valley Free Clinic?
Well, I think it's largely word of mouth, and we do network, of course, with other organizations that serve the same population so that the food banks and the place that offers the free community meals and so on, they refer a lot of folks to us. But I think there's just a lot of word of mouth.
We were talking earlier about the medications to manage chronic diseases, the strips, the insulin. As you continue to serve patients, what is it like stocking medications and stocking the inhalers and the other items you need to be able to prescribe patients?
Yeah. Inhalers and insulin are our two most expensive categories of medications, and yet, of course, both are extremely vital. We gave out over $1 million worth of medications last year. The inexpensive generic things we purchase ourselves through donations. The more expensive, particularly insulin and inhalers, we use the pharmaceutical company's patient assistance programs, which involves filling out some paperwork, and all of our patients are eligible for the program for the most part. Some have different requirements as far as citizenship and so on, and so are sometimes our farm workers. We have a bit of an issue there, but we're able to get those medications through the donation system.
We're talking with Dr. Lori Whitus, a family medical doctor who volunteers with the free clinic in Eau Claire, and you can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Dr. Whitus, you've been talking about grants as well. Have you been able to secure any of the federal COVID relief funding?
You know, I primarily focus on the medical part of it myself. I know that we've had fairly large grants from, for instance, United Way, Eau Claire Community Foundation, some things through the Wisconsin or National Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. You know, the community is very, very supportive of what we do, and we've been very fortunate that way.
You were also talking about medical kits going home with patients. What is inside these medical kits?
Well, we try to give every patient a pack of maybe 4 or 5 masks for them to take home. Masking is so important. And we want them to have enough that they can maybe give them to some of their household members so that they always have a mask themselves that they can wear. We have a reasonable supply of surgical masks, but also a large supply of cloth masks that were donated to us from a community group called Mask Bees, who gave us maybe 250 cloth masks to give out to our patients.
Do patients have questions about the coronavirus or myths that you have to dispel?
There is a lot of misinformation out there, yes. One of the things that we started fairly early on was an Ask a Nurse program. Because our clinic wasn't open as many hours as it had been previously, we started having a 2-hour block every day where our patients could call in and talk to a nurse and ask any questions that they have, whether it's related to COVID or to other medical conditions that they might have going on. And that was very, very busy, especially the first 6 weeks or so.
What were patients asking? What were people calling in to ask?
Well, mostly, do I need to be seen for this? Do I need to get tested? My friend's brother's uncle, has COVID. Do I need to be concerned about that? Those kind of things.
You've teamed up with the Eau Claire Health Department on drive-through testing, which starts today, I understand. What does this partnership look like?
Well, today will be the first time that we're trying it. they really just needed a clinic site to do this testing, and they are really trying to reach the most vulnerable populations, and so they felt that our clinic would be a good location because, our patients are comfortable coming there. They know that it is a safe environment. So today will be the first one. It goes from 4 to 7. It is free to anybody that shows up. You do have to have symptoms to be tested under this program, but there's no other eligibility qualifications. So from 4 to 5, they're taking walk-ins, people who don't have appointments. Otherwise, they're asking people to make an appointment, which you can do through the Eau Claire City County Health Department.
How long will these services, the testing, be up and running at your site?
Well, this is, and to be clear, this is not being done during our own clinic hours.
Sure,
this is
sure.
Being done outside those clinic hours. In fact, they were trying to address people for the working poor, people who couldn't come just from 9 to 4, which is what some of our, some of the other local test sites are running. So we are doing Monday evenings and Saturday mornings. And right now we have clinic testing scheduled through late September, but of course that will could be extended depending on the anticipated need.
Dr. Whitus, what do you need most right now?
We need volunteers. If there are any dental hygienists, we need nurses, we need doctors, people who are comfortable coming in. That is probably the most important thing. The other thing we need is for everybody please to wear a mask, practice the social distancing, and wash your hands.
Do you think that you're able to recruit new medical professionals, the hygienists, the nurses, the doctors, amid COVID? Is that doable?
Yes. I mean, it's been a challenge, but there are people out there, and as we have a bit of a social media presence on Facebook and so on, as we've put out blasts for asking for volunteers, we've had a reasonable result with the nurses. The hard thing is, of course, they're coming in as a new volunteer and don't know how the clinic works, and so there's a training process there. The doctors, it's a little bit harder. They're all pretty busy at their own practices, and nearly everybody, the doctors that come, is coming after a full day of work at their own clinic. So that's a little bit tougher, but we're doing what we can.
Dr. Whitus, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Dr. Lori Whitus is Volunteer Medical Director for Chippewa Valley Free Clinic in Eau Claire. Earlier, we talked with Dennis Skryeski, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Free and Charitable Clinics. Just ahead, it is On Point. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.